All righty, let's get into the lesson. You know, next Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. Amen? Amen. Amen. I am looking so forward to Resurrection Sunday. Today, being April the 10th, 2022, we want to take time just to think about what happens this week in the world some 2,000 plus years ago. This week, 2,000 some years ago, our Savior would be taken by the hands of wicked men and set before a mock trial where he is mocked and smitten and beaten and made fun of, blasphemed. They'll take him early on Wednesday morning and they will nail him to a cross. But before they nail him to the cross, you ought to take a look in the Word of God and see what Jesus did for you. What Jesus did for you. If you take the time just to read in Matthew chapter 27, I want you to turn there just a moment before we get into the lesson this morning. Let me tell you this morning, the lesson today will be a two-Sunday lesson. So I'm just telling you up front, okay? It's just going to be that way. It's too much to get in, and I want it to be a blessing to you. But if you'll go to Matthew chapter number 27, and you can start there and just read in that chapter. And beside all the places in here where it talks about how that they scourged him, verse 26, they released Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. You need to write down in your Bible, maybe beside some of these places, two words. And these are the two words, for me. For me. I've got that written in my Bible all through the Gospels, in Matthew and in Mark and in Luke and in John. And you'll look at some of these different passages this week. You see what all Jesus went through for you and for me. They nailed him to that cross about 9 o'clock on Wednesday morning. He hung there and being gawked at, stripped naked, beaten to a pulp. They cast lots for his garments. You're going to see that tonight in Living Cross. They cast lots for his garment. The winner got his garments. And folks, he did all that for you and for me. About the sixth hour, the Bible said that the world grew dark. And from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, which is noon until 3 o'clock, there was darkness upon the face of the earth as God turned his back on the Savior, on his own Son, for you and for me. And then he cried out, "It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And he gave up the ghost. They took him down from that cross, and they had to have him in the tomb before the Passover began at 6 o'clock. And as they took him down, they put him in that tomb. They sealed that tomb and set guards in front of it to make sure that nobody got in and he didn't get out. And from Thursday evening at 6 o'clock, on that Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, 3 days and three nights, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Sunday morning, they came to anoint the body. And they wondered who was going to roll away the stone. But it was already rolled away, amen? And it was open. And the angel looked at them and said, "Hey, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay." And they go in, and he's not there. And you know what? Man, what a Sunday that was. What a first day of the week that became. That is why we meet every Sunday in memory, in commemoration, in honor of the Savior who not only died for us to pay the debt for our sins, who was buried for us to take those sins away, but he arose again to give us eternal life and victory over sin. And one day, honey, he's coming back again. And boy, wouldn't it be something if that was today, amen? Wouldn't it be something? Today, we're looking at a lesson from the book of 2 Timothy. And I want you to look at this with me this morning. 2 Timothy, chapter number 1, And we're going to be speaking this morning on this lesson entitled Faithfulness in History. Faithfulness in History. Our Savior was and is and forever shall be faithful. His name is faithful. Our key verse today is found in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 12. And it said this. It said, "For the which cause I also suffer these things." Paul is writing. He said, "I'm suffering some things." He said, "Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Man, Paul knew some things. And I want to ask you this morning or not, this question. I want to just ask you. I asked myself this week as I was studying through this lesson, am I being faithful? I mean, am I truly being faithful? Or am I simply being fickle? Fickle means to be wishy-washy. Say one thing one day, do something else another day. Am I truly being faithful? Or am I being fickle? You know what? The book of Proverbs is the book of wisdom. I would encourage you, if you have the opportunity, to read one chapter of Proverbs each and every day. Amen. You say, "Brother Ray, that's a lot of chapters." There's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. If you would just take the one chapter that relates to the day, today's date being the 10th, today would be Proverbs chapter 10. Tomorrow would be Proverbs chapter 11. Yes. Apply it to each day of your life and ask God for wisdom. And then if you want some sweetness from the Lord, then ask God to give you some sweetness from reading the book of Psalms. And if you just read five chapters in Psalm every day, you'd get through the whole book of Psalms in 1 month. But it makes you sweet. It makes you sweet. Proverbs will make you wise. Psalms will make you sweet. But in the book of Proverbs, chapter 20, verse number 6, I read a verse a couple weeks ago, again, that reminded me. And it said, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find?" Let me read it again. "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find?" You know what? Even back in Solomon's day, he was looking for some faithful men. Some faithful men. Some faithful women. Some faithful children that would love the Lord God. You know, faithfulness is a virtue that is getting harder and harder to find in our world today. People will say anything today, it seemed like, in the political world to get into office. And then they'll do something totally different. But let me say something. I'm seeing that a lot in Christians' lives too. They'll tell you all kinds of things one day and then do something else the next day. Listen, the world needs to see faithfulness, true faithfulness in your life and in my life today. Listen, if you stand over my casket one day and look at me and say, "My, he looks good." You know, I told you this last week. Tell me that while I'm alive. I'd like to enjoy that. I don't hear that very much, okay? Don't tell me when I'm dead because I won't be there. The shell will be there, but the nut will be gone. Amen? But listen to me. Listen to me. If you look at that old shell, I want you to be able to look down there and you say, "You know what? Above all things, he was faithful. He didn't quit. He was faithful to God." Listen, faithfulness in Solomon's day was something that people were looking for. And we see the fact of that in the hearts of the scribes and the Pharisees. We see how that they proclaimed everyone his own goodness. But being faithful to the Scriptures was not in their vocabulary. It was not within their hearts. In Numbers chapter 12, I read this week. Numbers chapter 12 came to my mind. Verses 1 through 9. There was a big dispute between Miriam and Aaron and Moses, the man of God. And Miriam and Aaron didn't like the things that Moses, God's chosen man, was doing. They didn't like it. And this is what they said. The Bible said in Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 through 9, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" Well, it sounds like that Proverbs 20, verse 6, doesn't it? Most men will proclaim his own goodness. "Has he not also spoken by us?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam. And this is what he said. The Bible said, "Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation." This is the Lord speaking now. "And the three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of a cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forth. And he said, Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed." Folks, you know what? Without our love for God, we're teeter-tottering on the edge of the Lord leaving and departing from our presence. That's what happened with Aaron and Miriam, because they didn't see the faithfulness of Moses. They just wanted to proclaim their own goodness. Oh man, we're just as good as that. We can speak better than he can. We can do this. And God said, "Listen, I'm not looking for somebody better or able to speak like you. He's my man. I've called him, and he's faithful." And folks, I say that today because I want you to understand something. The Lord recognizes faithfulness. He recognizes faithfulness in the lives of his children. He recognizes faithfulness. Listen, when folks around you criticize you and they fuss at you and they get upset because you do the things for God that you do from your heart and you try to live for God the way that God would have you to live and you try to love them and tell them about the Lord and encourage them to come to church and come to Sunday school, come to Living Cross, and they just laugh and mock at you and say, "Man, I don't want to come. Man, I can do better than that preacher can down there. I can sing better than that choir can down there." You just remember, you be faithful because God blesses faithfulness. You stick in there. You stay faithful to do what God said do, because the very God whom you serve and I serve is faithful, and he will not forget his own. I just want you to remember that today, okay? Don't let the world get you down because you're faithful. Don't let the world cause you to not be faithful. Because they're not faithful, it means that you need to be even more faithful to tell them about the Lord and Savior. When we read in Deuteronomy chapter 7, Deuteronomy is one of my favorite books in the Bible. And when God told his chosen people, the Israelites, he said, "For thou art not an holy people unto the Lord thy God." Or, I'm sorry. "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you And because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy him. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. God reminded his people that he is the God that these folks will stand before one day. He is God. He is the faithful God. And he will not forget your faithfulness. Let it be said of each of us today that we have been faithful servants for God. Amen. Let it be said of us. Quite honestly, folks, God expects no less from those of us who know Jesus as our Savior as he did from those chosen people, the Israelites, as his people. God sent his Son for you and for me. We have accepted his gift of eternal life and salvation. Now let's love him enough to be found faithful. Amen. I know that you do, and I know that you will continue to do that. I want you to look at this morning, faithfulness in history. Last week, we read a passage out of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. Timothy was receiving this letter from Paul. And Paul said, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou, therefore, ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and hath called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and it brought life and immortality to light through the what? Through the gospel." The gospel makes all the difference, folks. Amen? The gospel makes the difference. You see, in verses 9 and 10 of this passage, we see something that we're very often prone to forget. And that being simply, point number one in the lesson, God's faithfulness. We are prone to forget about God's faithfulness sometimes, aren't we? You know, I was thinking the other day, I got an oil bill for almost $800, and I didn't even fill up my tank. I just got it partially filled. It's the first time I'd put oil in that tank in over 2 years. And I just didn't want it to be down low. I didn't want it to be less than a quarter of a tank. And so I told them, I said, just put 100, 150 gallons or so in there. And they did. It was almost $800 to put that in. And when I saw that bill, the first thing went through my mind is, now how are you going to pay for that? And boy, you know how the devil does you. He plants thoughts in your mind and think, man, you know, you just had to have this done. You just did this and you got that thing and this thing and that thing. And the thought came to my mind as I was contemplating all these things. Man, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And it was just like the Lord said, son, did you forget me? And you know what? God has always, always been faithful to take care of our physical needs, our spiritual needs. And you know what? He's not going to forget you if you will trust him and serve him with your heart. And I want you to look again here at verses 9 and 10 in this chapter. We're speaking of God's great love and faithfulness. Paul writes these words. He says, Who hath saved us. That was a miracle in itself, that God was willing to save us. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath, look at this, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now, in these verses, we clearly can see the faithfulness of God in several areas. Number one was in the planning of salvation. God's plan for salvation. You know what? God's plan of salvation included you and it included me. There are folks today that say there's only a chosen number of those that God really chose to save, and all the rest he condemned to go to hell. Then if that is true, then it makes verses as simple as John 3:16 a complete lie, and Romans chapter 10 verse 13 an utter just blasphemous statement, where it says that whosoever cometh unto him, whosoever believeth on him, can be saved. I believe whosoever means whosoever. Whether you're big and ugly, or were you little and pretty, or you're fat, you're skinny, it doesn't matter if you're black, you're white, you're pink, you're purple, you know, you're green, whatever. You can be sick. It doesn't matter who you are. God had a plan, and the virtue of faithfulness both originates and it abides in the heart of Almighty God. That's where faithfulness came from. Why? Because he is God, and our God is faithful. Amen? He's faithful. Now look at this. We've got to never forget that it is God himself who saves us. He saves us for his own son's sake. And the Bible said he has not only saved us, but he called us with an holy calling, not according to our works. It wasn't anything we did to deserve what God gave unto us. It wasn't by our good deeds, our worship habits, and anything like that. Not by according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. You know what God's purpose was? To show forth to the whole universe that he loved you and me. In spite of our sin, in spite of our shortcomings, in spite of our faults and our failures, God still loved us. And he wanted to have that fellowship. Listen, godly parents teach their children to be loving and faithful to the things that they teach them to be. Correct? Am I saying that right? You will teach your children to be loving and to be faithful to the things that you teach them. And those same godly parents will then in turn expect their children to simply love them enough to obey them and to do what they said do. Not because they're made to do it, not because they're going to beat them to death if they don't do it, but because they simply love them enough to do it. That's the way parents are. And you know what? Our Heavenly Father is no different. Amen? He has done so much for us. He has given us all that we have today. And it's simply out of love that he wants us to serve him and to be found faithful unto him. It's not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and plan, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God had a plan. There's no work, there are no deeds, there are no special accomplishments that any sinful man or woman could ever do or hope to achieve that would merit eternal life with God in heaven. None, zero, zilch, nada, nothing. It was all in God's plan. This is why Paul wrote here in verse number 9, it's not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and plan, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And God's plan was what? That whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever, anybody, whoever you are, God is willing to save you. This is why Jesus told the people in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, he said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. In Matthew chapter 18, verse number 11, and this verse is taken out of the NIV version and the RSV and all these other new versions. It's taken out. But it says, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost." Now, why would they want to take something like that out of the Bible? You know what? Because the devil doesn't want them to know that God can save anybody and everybody. Hey, listen, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody that'll save anybody. Amen? That's good, isn't it? Amen? Amen. This is why, though, the Apostle Paul wrote what he did. This is why Jesus said what he did. Listen, Peter wrote this in 1 Peter chapter 1. I wrote this verse down. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. He said, "For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your own vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for you." Man, Peter knew who he was. Peter knew that God had been faithful in his plan of salvation. But then I want you to look here in verse number 10. I want you to see the faithfulness of God in not only the planning of salvation, but in the providing of salvation. He didn't just plan it. Honey, he provided it. He gave it. He made it available to all people. Look what he said. "But now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the Gospels." Now think about this. All throughout the Old Testament Scriptures, we see the promise of God's salvation. We see the promise of a Redeemer. We see the promised Messiah who is going to come. And it's not until the details of that plan are revealed within the New Testament that we see and we understand that great mystery that was so talked about in the Old Testament Scriptures. The book of Galatians chapter 4, one of my favorite verses, it said this, Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, "But when the fullness of time was come," in other words, when everything was set just right in God's eyes, "when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son." His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. God had a plan, and at just the right time, He provided the means for completing that plan. Amen? That was through Jesus. Now look what it said. Under the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, Matthew tells us in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 23, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." You know what? That sounds like a Savior to me. Amen? He's a Savior. "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." You see, God not only established a plan, but He provided that plan. He provided the salvation of that plan. And He said there that, listen, this has been made manifest before your eyes. On the night of God's fulfillment of this plan, out in the lonely hillside of Judea, on the mountainside maybe somewhere where there was plenty of green grass, where some shepherds were there just watching over their flocks by night, Dr. Luke wrote these words. He said, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not." Now listen. "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to" how many people? "All people." That's me. That's you. We weren't even thought of. This nation wasn't even known about back then. But he did it all for you, and he did it for me. "And this shall be unto all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." God not only planned salvation, but he provided salvation through his own dear son. And that's why Paul wrote here that this was now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And look what God did when Jesus came into the world. Look what he did in this verse. He said, number one, he hath abolished death. He hath abolished death. Now, how do we know this? Because the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death." But it doesn't stop there. It goes on to say, "But the gift of God, that which God provides to every man, woman, boy, and girl, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now, you know what? We still have to face death, do we not? We still physically have to face death. This week, Sister Beth Bond, Mrs. Hessen, usually would sit in here and been with us for a good while, she passed away on that last Saturday. And her funeral was this past Wednesday. But you know what? The thing I learned about that woman in the funeral service was simply this. She was faithful to the God that had saved her. And you know what? You listen to me today. You may not be able to do a whole lot in this world, but you can be faithful. Why? Because God was faithful for you. And when Paul wrote this, he said, "Listen, I'm about to face death, but that's just a doorway for me to go through to get to heaven." That's all death is. It's just a doorway. And he said, "But Christ hath abolished death." That death he was speaking of was that eternal, everlasting death of separation from God in hell. He's abolished all that. And one day, the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 and 55, he said, "One day when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" And on that glorious day, when we will see death, that last enemy, destroyed forever, forever. Paul was writing here because God saw through what he did for you and for me. He saw it as already being done. He abolished death. But secondly, look at this. He has brought life and immortality to light. In other words, he has brought it forth so that you and I could see and know what he had done for us. Think about it, folks. Those things that were hidden before, hidden from the eyes of men's understanding, have now been brought to light. It makes more sense now when you read the Word of God. Listen, that's what makes this old book so special, because it brings to light God's eternal plan of salvation for all men, all women, all boys, all girls, even the mean ones. God has done. The spiritual darkness that Satan has placed upon men's eyes today keep people from seeing truth. But God, through the precious Lamb of God, brought light into the world. And because He is our light, then you and I can shine for Him. He's abolished death. He brought life and immortality to light. But thirdly, He did it all through the gospel. Amen? Listen, this passage of Scripture ought to excite you and me today. Because we're not here because of some famous doctrine we've got to go by. We're not here because we've got to go by the traditions of men, okay? We're not here because of our good works and good deeds or because how much money we cast into the pot to keep the lights on during the week. That's not why we're here. We're here today. We meet together on this first day of the week to celebrate the life of a risen Savior because of the gospel. And the gospel still works wherever it is declared and preached. Amen? It will work. It will work. Where would you and I today be without the message of the gospel? I could still be lost in my sin. I could already have been in hell had somebody not presented the message of the gospel to me. Churches today are doing everything they can do to draw a crowd, okay? They're trying to draw a crowd. They're changing their doctrine. They're changing their Bibles. They're changing their music. They're changing the appearance of everything inside. Listen, have you noticed how many churches nowadays have all the shining lights and the fog and all this stuff in a dark, cavern-looking area? They do that because that's familiar to the people that are in the world. And they want them to feel comfortable in their church. Man, I want them to feel convicted when they come to our church. Amen? I want them to recognize the fact that they are a sinner hanging by a thread over the flames of hell, and it's only the blood of Jesus that can save their soul. And they hear the message of the gospel, and they believe and are saved. Listen, folks, today we need to remember what the gospel is. Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize. Listen, there are a lot of folks today who say you can't go to heaven without getting baptized. I don't care if you're baptized, pasteurized, or homogenized. Those things will not get you to heaven. Listen what he said. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. For God hath made the foolish things of this world. He's made the foolish things of this world to be something that's wise in His eyes. Listen what he said. He said, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So let me ask you today, what makes the gospel so special? What makes it so special? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'll read this as we close. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, tell us what makes the gospel so special. He said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you, he must have been Southern, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Boy, that's what makes the Scriptures so special. That's what makes the gospel special. You see, folks, he goes on to say in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, but if our gospel be hid, if we don't declare it, if we don't stand and preach it, if we're not faithful to do what we're supposed to do, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and our servants for Jesus' sake. Thank God for the gospel. Amen. And God is faithful with that. Now, if you'll come back next week, I'll tell you about some other faithful people. Amen? And we'll start right here in verse number 11. Let's pray and let's be dismissed. Father, Thank you, dear God, for being a faithful God. Thank you, Lord, for not only planning salvation, but for providing salvation. And Lord, I pray that today, through the love that we have for you, Lord, that love that we declare to those around us, Lord, that we will not be ashamed of the gospel. We will be found faithful in all that we do. Bless now our pastor, Lord, as he's faithful to stand and again preach the word of God. Lord, bless tonight's presentation of Living Cross. Lord, I pray that the message will be so clear that folks will just be, they just can't hardly wait until the invitation is given so that they might be saved. Bless us now, Lord, that we might be a strength and a help to all those that come. And we'll thank you for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being in class today.